You've probably heard me say this many times, but what a person believes about God is the most important thing about them. It's more important than their status given by society. It's more important than the number or value of their possessions, and it's more important than their paycheck. However, most people in this world, including those within the church, they live their life as if what they believe about God really does not matter. Even some who attend weekly worship services don't think that what others believe about God is most important. And you have to ask yourself the question, why is this? Why does that happen even within the confines of people within the church? Because most people don't know God, and most people don't know what they believe. So today we begin a verse-by-verse study of the Gospel of John. And we will be in the Gospel of John probably all year long, if not longer. We're going to walk through verse by verse, looking at a letter holistically about what God has declared. Why? To know God, we must know who Jesus is. If we don't know who Jesus is, we won't know God. To know who Jesus is, who God is, we must know God's Word. To know what God is like, it is necessary to study the life of Jesus Christ. See, I'm so astonished that there's so many churches that exist, but so many churches, they don't study the life of Christ. And we have to do that. If we don't study the life of Christ, how are we going to know God? Hebrews 1:1-3 says this, "Long ago, many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. He, meaning Jesus, is a radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, where He still sits today," where He has all power and all authority. So Jesus Christ, the Word God, is the final word to mankind. There is no other word that we need. So what Jesus said is God's final word to us. The question is, will we obey it? And there's nothing else that needs to be said. We have what we need in Christ to live this missional life for God's glory. And so you're going to hear me say these few statements over and over again this year, but my prayer is that we go through the Gospel of John, that the following will happen in our lives. Number one, that we will mature in our knowledge of who God is by maturing in our understanding of the Word by the power of the Holy Spirit. We will mature in our knowledge of who God is by maturing in our understanding of the Word by the power of the Holy Spirit. The second thing, we will have a deeper understanding of who we are and our everyday need for the Lord. A deeper understanding of who we are and our desperate everyday need for the Lord. Even right now, I think sometimes it escapes the fact and truth that we have woken up today by God's grace. That God has given us the health to be here. And there's many at home that are not healthy. The fact that He alone provides that for us. Number three, we will grow in our appreciation of the truth that God saved us by His grace for His glory, and our only appropriate response is to glorify Him with our lives. And anything less is sin. It would be thankful that He has saved us by His grace. And we will share with others what we are learning. That what we learn about God will be the most important conversations we have this year. How different we would be if that were the case. I think many times the reasons we don't have many conversations about God with family, with friends, with those who are around, is because we can't recall what we're actually learning. That above all, our conversations would be about the Lord. And number five, that we will share God's good news. We will advance the gospel by God's power as we intentionally make disciples as commanded by the Lord. That we would intentionally make disciples. These five things basically flow out of our mission statement. To reach one more, to teach one more, and to release one more, all for God's glory. And so as we keep these things in our minds, and you're going to hear it, you're going to see these things printed, let's just go to the Lord in prayer right now. Father, I thank you for this morning. Father, we ask that as we walk through your word, verse by verse in the Gospel of John, that you would give us clarity, you would give us understanding, Father, and that we would obey your words. This would not just be another Bible study. This would not just be something else that we check off, but you would truly move in our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit for your glory. That you would use us to know your word and to advance your kingdom. Father, we pray this in the name of Christ, in the name that is above all names. Amen. All right, some history. The Gospel of John was written by the power of the Holy Spirit through the Apostle John, the one whom Jesus loved, Scripture says. John was a Jew who was one of the three who were the closest to him, the other two being Peter and James. So he was one of the inner three that hung out with Christ in great moments. This letter was written to Jews and Gentiles alike at the close of the first century, around A.D. 70. And the purpose of this letter is found in John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. It says this, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." Life in the name of Christ. So John wrote this letter so that people will know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So this letter is evangelistic in nature, yet it also contains rich truths which all followers of Christ can mature in. And my prayer is that you and I would hold true to that this year, that we would mature. Many people set new resolutions. Many people I know, when I go to the gym tomorrow morning, there's probably going to be 25 to 30% more people there than normal. But by the end of month two, they're all going to be gone. I know this because this happened last year. But my prayer is that you and I, if anything, one of the goals for this year for our lives will be to increase our knowledge of God's Word and to obey God's Word. John wrote this letter so that we would know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. This letter is a call to know what you believe, why you believe it, and that in knowing, you will live life for Him. See, many people, they get the first two. Know what you believe and why you believe it. But we have to live life for Him. Otherwise, you really don't know what you believe. Those are all connected. This letter is not a call for mere intellectual growth, but to spiritual life growth and living for Christ. Verse 31 ends with these words, that by believing you may have life in His name. That's our focus this year, about having life in the name of Christ. Having life in His name. And if we are to succeed, we will need to slow down, take the best of our time to read and to study and to obey God's living Word. We will have to slow down. We will have to make God top priority. The need to chew on God's Word moment by moment, verse by verse, for the purpose of knowing Him and glorifying Him. This past year, I finished reading through the Bible in a year, and it was wonderful. This year, I am slowing down what I'm doing and chewing on verses moment by moment. My wife and I are looking at the letter of Romans together. And so we're slowly walking through Romans together, talking about it, sharing what we're learning. And that's needed, just to slow down and to do that. So if you will, join me in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through Him. He was not the light, but He came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The first thing we need to know is that Jesus Christ is God. Now, I know this is a basic foundational truth, but you would be, well, hopefully you're not shocked, but we should be shocked to know that many people don't believe that. People will declare, oh yeah, Jesus is God, but the more and more you sit down and you talk with them, it's not the God of the Bible. It's a God that they've created in their own mind. It's a God that they have made to fit themselves for what they don't have to change their life. They can just approve what they already know to be true, but it's false. That Jesus Christ is God. In the beginning was the Word. Word. Logos. Why was Jesus Christ called the Word? Well, to the Jew, the Word, the Logos, was the expression of divine power and wisdom. To the Greek, however, the Word, the Logos, meant a principle of order and reason, an impersonal abstract force containing all wisdom that orders all of life and it created. So the very first verse of John declared to the Jew and the Greek that Jesus is God. That Jesus was not created. He has always existed. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is Jesus. So you compare this gospel to the others, and this one is very distinct. It is of great beauty that John does not write, like the other gospels, with the birth of Christ as a baby in the beginning, but as Jesus, the Son of God, who has always existed, who is preeminent, in fact, who created all things. John 1 and Genesis 1 both begin with "in the beginning," and both are foundational texts for understanding God. There is one supreme God, but He exists in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Looking back at Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So in that verse, we know from also connecting that to John 1, that you have God the Father, you have God the Son, and then you have the Spirit hovering over the waters. The Trinity. Elohim, God. God is His title. This is who He is, and He exists in three persons, yet one essence. And there's not really a great illustration to give you, except there's three persons, they're all God. So in Genesis, we see that God created. We see that God the Spirit hovered over creation. And from John 1, we know that Jesus Christ was the one who made all things, and without Him, nothing was made. 1 John goes on to tell us in chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands, concerning the Word of life, The life was made manifest. We have seen it. We testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So there's no doubt that Jesus is God and that He has always existed, that the God the Father sent Him to earth and God the Son was made manifest to us. Man, in those verses it says this, that which was from the beginning. Then it declares Jesus as the Word of life, the eternal life, which was from the Father, was made manifest to us. What we just studied about, the incarnation at Christmas time. Colossians 2, 8, 9. It says, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him, in Christ, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. I hope you see and you capture the fact that if we aren't in the Word, we will become consumed with human tradition and human philosophy. We will look like the rest of the world. That we need Christ each and every day. One of the songs that we sing here and sang before is like, Lord, I need You. I am desperate for You. I need You every hour, every moment, every day. The whole fullness of God dwells in Christ because He is God. Without Christ, there is no salvation, and there's no fellowship with God. As a created being, it is hard to grasp with our finite minds that there was a beginning for earth and that God has always existed. But it's truth nonetheless. We have to believe what God's Word has stated. I've talked to many people and they can never get past that. Well, who created God? No one. He's always existed. He's always been here. So before the world existed, space existed, or time was created, before anything was created, there was just God according to His Word. And if God did not create, if Christ did not create, nothing would exist. God has always existed. This includes the Trinity. Over the last few weeks, we were reminded of this when I said Jesus put on flesh when He came to earth. He was not first coming into existence at the night in the stable with Mary and Joseph, but He put on flesh when He came. He was not created. He had always existed. So God's Word informs all of humanity how we came to be here. God created us. Even at the starting point, realizing your Creator tells you how to live. The Creator tells me how to live. So we must go to the source to find out our purpose, our reason, how we please our Creator. God has always existed. So God's Word informs all of humanity that He created us. So if we do not believe this, we have no salvation. And if we do not believe that Jesus is God, we are dead with no spiritual life. So just as God's children were called to Him by His grace, we are called to know what we believe, why we believe it, and obey. The Word. The Word means divine self-expression. Jesus is God's message, and Jesus is God. Jesus Christ is the Word. So if we want to know God, we must know Jesus. And to know Jesus, we study Him, His life, the Word. And we can know God personally through Jesus Christ, who is God. Without God, there is no beginning. And without God, there is no us. Right? David Platt, a pastor that I admire, he said this, if God were to stop, so would we. If God were to stop breathing, so would you. So would I. But that's not God. He'll never stop. He has always existed. He will always exist. And he is the not only the author of life, he's the giver of physical life. But thanks be to God that he created and he sent Christ, the Son of God, to earth to save many from their sins. Thanks be to God that there is a way for man to have life, and that life is found in the Word, who is the light of men, in Jesus, in God. John Wesley said this, "The plainest reason why the Son of God is called the Word seems to be that as our words explain our minds to others, so was the Son of God sent in order to reveal His Father's mind to the world." That's great. You want to know God? You've got to know the Word. It was my third trip to Africa, and I'm spending time with a people group, and how they convey and how they do life together is they can't read, they can't write, and so they tell stories after story to one another. And so I'm having a conversation with the missionary, and I'm sitting there saying, okay, so we've been taking trip after trip for a number of years, and I guess this is my ignorance, but when are you going to teach them how to study the Bible for themselves and not be dependent upon us? And their response was, that's not part of our plan. And I looked back and I said, it needs to be. The sad truth is that even many of us in Western society, we have a copy of the Word, we just don't really care to know it. To actually make the time. You know, all worthy things are hard and difficult. It takes time. It's going to take effort. It's going to take sweat. Think about this. The one who created physical life is also the one who provides eternal life. What a great and loving God. A merciful. And gracious God. That the Word is Jesus Christ and He is God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. The Word was with God. This language is conveying a face-to-face intimate relationship between God the Father and God the Son. See that. The fact that God and Jesus had wonderful face-to-face fellowship before Jesus came to earth in obedience to God the Father. The Word Jesus existed with God. This is the very thing that we long for and look forward to as God's children, right? To one day be with Him forever, face to face. What Adam experienced in the garden before the fall. The Word Jesus existed with God. And the one day we will no longer see dimly, but one day we will see Him face to face permanently. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. John is saying, the one I am writing about, the reason for this letter, Jesus, the Son of God, is the one who created you, and Jesus Christ made you, and without Him nothing was made. Do you see God's sovereignty on display as well? Look, nothing is accidentally happening. God is in complete control now, and He always will be. As a follower of Christ, we need to rest in that fact and that assurance that makes Him God. Look, if God doesn't know what's going on, if God is confused, if God is up in heaven thinking, I can't believe this is happening, I can't believe this is going on, why is sin increasing? Then that's not God of the Bible. The God of the Bible knows everything. He causes everything to happen, or He allows everything to happen for a reason. His children are to trust Him and to glorify Him to the end of their days, and to advance and be obedient. But that definitely is easier said than done, isn't it? With sickness in the world, with frustrations in the world, when looking around at what everybody else is doing. But what we have to do is hold on to who God is and what His Word has declared. And keep obeying no matter what. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. See, the beginning of this letter is the key to understanding the very purpose for writing. Jesus Christ is God, but John doesn't stop there. Jesus is not just God, He is eternal life. Many don't get this. That's point number two. Jesus Christ is eternal life. Look at verse 4 of our main text. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So Jesus was in the beginning with God. He left the glories of heaven. He came to the darkness of sinful earth to be life and light. Life and light here is referring to spiritual life. God provided life, salvation for mankind by sending His only Son, Christ, who is fully God, to this earth to pay for sin of those who would trust in Him for salvation. So God made a way for those whom He would call to Himself. Jesus Christ is eternal life. This is much more than living everyday life. Eternal life is life without end, life forever with God. Jesus is a foundation of life to every living thing, as well as of being to all that is. When you talk about light, it's true, it's pure, it's divine, no error, no mistake, perfect, holy, righteous, complete. John 10:10, thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have life abundantly. Well, the reason I believe why so many churches are failing, so many churches are falling back, number one, they're not standing on the foundational truth of God's Word, but also the fact is they don't care to have life abundantly. They just want to live. I know God, yes, but they don't want to live it abundantly. We'll live abundantly with our possessions. We'll live abundantly with our mission, our goal, but we won't live abundantly for the Lord. May it be never so of us. Followers of Christ are called to have abundant life in Christ, and the reality is the true followers of Christ will have abundant life in Christ. We are to delight in God, as I said last week from Psalm 1. To have abundant life, we are to seek Him and live for Him. There is no abundance if we do not obey. Those are connected. There is no abundance if we don't delight in Him. We are to find all that we need in Christ. Without Christ, there is no real living. The Bible says you're just walking around dead. Without Christ, there is no real living. As God's children, we must not settle for anything less than abundant life. Therefore, we must not settle for not spending time with God. If we are to glorify God, we cannot do that apart from spending time with Him. Think about how you spent your time this past week. Did you watch a game show? Did you watch a movie? Did you read the newspaper? A football game? Facebook? Google? We won't glorify the Lord if we don't spend time with Him, because we won't look like Him. As God's children, we must not settle for anything less than abundant life. Therefore, we must not settle for not spending time with God. We must not settle for comfort or entertainment. We must not settle for good things or for pleasing man. We must not settle for what is quick and easy. We must not settle for what we were not created for. To me, that's the biggest one. We weren't created for it. We must not settle for it. We must not settle for anything less than finding daily life and light in Jesus Christ. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Scripture talks a lot about light and life. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The answer? No one. Psalm 36, 9. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The reason we stumble is because we take our eyes off the Lord. The reason we mess up is because, honestly, we forget what God has said and we get out of His Word. Psalm 119, 130. The unfolding of your words give light. It imparts understanding to the simple. I love that because I'm a very simple guy. And it's a great reminder for me that if I want to see the light of Christ shining through my life, if I'm to obey what God says, it was like He said, I'm leaving this world. You are now called to go and be the light. If that is the case, then I have to spend time with the very one who wrote down the words of life. I have to spend time making sure that I am striving after holiness. Jesus Christ is light and will never be overcome. See, darkness will not overcome God, and God will accomplish His divine plan with or without us. God's plan will not be thwarted by anything created. Let me remind you of this. Satan is not the opposite of God. Satan was created. All of power is in the hand of God. God gives power or He allows power. Same with leaders. God appoints every single leader. It's no surprise to Him. He allowed it to happen or He caused it to happen for His glory. It may not make sense to us, but our job is to be faithful. Jesus Christ is light and will never be overcome. In order to not waste this life, we must go to where life is found. 1 John 1:5. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Isn't it awesome to know that if we've been saved by God's grace in here, that we can stand on the promise and the assurance that we have already overcome the world because of the righteousness of Christ? That no matter what, if we get a phone call expressing something that we wouldn't want to hear, that we have overcome that because of Christ. I'm understanding that no matter what happens to our health this next year, no matter what trials and temptations and tests come our way, that it's already overcome, that it's already been paid for, that Christ has already accomplished that in us. 1 John 5:11 and 12. And this is a testimony that God gave us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son, who has Christ, has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. See, without life and light, there is no vision, there's no direction, there's no healthiness. It's just darkness. See, when the light came into the world, the darkness did not like it. When Jesus came, He was light and life. He exposed the darkness. He was eternal life. God's gracious love in His Son and His plan was not overcome by the cross, because the cross was always part of God's plan. And when the end comes, His plan will not be overcome. It will stand and come to pass. God's will be accomplished and can be seen as already accomplished. See, if we would just hold on to that and think upon that. So many times we say, I'm so ready for the Lord to come back. And we sang a song about it this morning, about how we're praying and we're ready. And I had to bow my head and say, Lord, I hope I am still faithful when you come back. That I would live my life being faithful to you no matter what happens. But the reality that you're coming back is already done. Because every promise you have made is yes and amen, it will come to pass. God's plan will not be overturned. John 8:12 says this. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Do you have eternal life, or are you in darkness? Do you have eternal life, or are you in darkness? Verse 12, what I just read, John 8:12, says this at the end, Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So whoever follows Christ will not be in the dark, but will have the light of life. As far as the Christ, we are called to be the light. We are called to image the light of Christ because He is no longer in the world. We are to be the light by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we are to be the light in the darkness. But you can't get past the fact that it said, whoever follows me. See, if you've been saved and the Holy Spirit is inside of you, you will follow Him because that's how you obey. Are you following Christ? Is He God? Let me say this. God is not a Bible study. God is not a missional group. He is not church attendance. Jesus Christ is God, and in Him alone is eternal life. See, years ago, mankind would not have just stood back and settled for church attendance or church programs. When you said this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, to the Jews and the Greeks, that was huge for them. That wasn't saying, oh yeah, he's going to church on Sunday. No, it was encompassing that Jesus put on flesh. He came to earth, and in Him is life and light. And if we're not following Him, we don't have life or light. That we're still in the darkness. Because you can't be in the darkness and following Christ at the same time. It's totally different. Because that light is who He is. He's perfect. He's sovereign. He's pure. He's holy. He's righteous. Are you following Christ? When we don't obey the commands of Jesus Christ, we are not treating Him as God, and we are not following. When we don't obey the commands of Jesus Christ, we are not treating Him as God, and we are not following. Jesus said this over and over again. If you love me, you will obey my commands. Well, the opposite is true. If you don't love me, you're not going to obey me. You won't do what I've asked you to do. That's why I began by declaring these five things. That my prayer is that we go through this gospel, that we would do these. We will mature in our knowledge of who God is by maturing in our understanding of the Word by the power of the Holy Spirit. See, the more that we understand about God, the more we can live for Him. Plain and simple. The more we will live for Him, we will crucify our thoughts, our desires. We'll crucify all the things that we've held on to as tradition that's not in this book. And we will strictly live for Him. And we'll realize that there's life and light in that. We will have a deeper understanding of who we are and our everyday need for the Lord. You may be saying, well, I don't need to spend time with God every day. If you say that, I don't even know if you're saved. Why would you not want to spend time with your Father who made you and created you and saved you by His grace? We will grow in our appreciation of the truth that God saved us by His grace for His glory And the only appropriate response is to glorify Him with our lives. To glorify God with our lives. See, God is not glorified when we live in our comfort. God is not glorified when we live in our desires. He's glorified when we live our life for His commands and we obey. That we will grow in our appreciation of the truth that He saved us. That we will share with others what we are learning. Think about all the conversations you had this past year. What was the number one topic of your conversation? The weather? News? Sports? Movies? How your golf game has increased or your golf game has gotten worse? Maybe the greatest conversation in our lives this year needs to be the Lord. And the only way it's going to be the Lord is if we spend time with Him. And we'll share the good news. See, when you become obsessed with what God has says, you'll share it. It's more than just intellect. It's more than sitting through a school. It's more than gaining a bunch of facts. When you become obsessed with what God has says, you're really becoming obsessed with Him. And when you become obsessed with Him, you're following Him. And when you're following Him, you'll do what He's commanded you to do. And you'll be surprised how the Lord will open up your eyes to the lostness and the darkness that is all around you that you've never seen before. And it may even be within your own family. May we rest in knowing that Jesus Christ is God and in Him alone is eternal life. Father, I thank You for this morning. Father, I just pray that we would humbly submit ourselves to the Lordship of Your Son, Jesus Christ, this year. As we walk through the Gospel of John, verse by verse and step by step, that we would not consider these things old hats that we have already put on, old truths that we have already learned, but You would give us eyes to see and ears to hear, and that You would continue to point out sin in our life and we would confess that sin to You. Father, that we would not end this year by not becoming more obedient servants of You. Father, my prayer is that You would use us, that You would use Foundation Baptist Church to reach Euless, to reach those around us, to reach those in our families. Father, that You may truly become what is most important, and that we would let the cares and the thoughts and the traditions of this world slowly fade away from our life, that You would prune us for Your glory, Lord. We would hold on to the truth that in the beginning was You. It was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. That all things were made through You. And nothing was made that was not made without You. And in You and You alone is life and light for man. Father, may we obey You. May we follow You. May we stand in Your light and be the light to others this year. Father, that is my prayer. I pray that would be the prayer of this congregation, that we would not settle for the things of this world, but we would only settle for satisfaction and delight in Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I pray that you would respond as the Lord has led you. The purpose for Him writing this whole gospel is that we would have life in the name of Christ. Life is so much more than a class, so much more than an hour or 2 hours here and there. We would truly live for Christ with every moment, every breath that we have. So I would ask that you stand and you respond to the Lord.